Hi there, folks. This is Tony coming to you from New Zealand for the A Minute Midnight Show. With me today, I have Tom Hughes in California, second time on the show. So I'm really looking forward to discussing a bunch of different things with Tom. So welcome, Tom.
Oh, it's great being here with you again, Tony. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, that's all good. In fact, just very briefly, I understand you're actually due to be coming to New Zealand in a couple of weeks for a conference in Auckland. Do you just want to give a very quick introduction to what that's all about?
Oh, it's going to be absolutely terrific. There are six different speakers, world-class speakers that are coming. We're all going to be talking on different topics regarding the things that are going on in this world and how biblically, when we look at the Bible, we can understand if we put things into the right perspective. We can understand that these things will actually, they're pointing us to the fulfillment of the prophecy of the return of Christ.
That sounds really good. And I understand it's downtown Auckland, the conference. I can't even think of the name of the venue myself at the moment, but do you have it there?
I don't have it with me. Maybe we can find it. I'll see if somebody can pull it up for me. I'm not familiar with the area. This is going to be my first time in both Australia and New Zealand. We're going to both. I'm excited. Can't wait to be there. And I'm looking forward to being out of California for a little bit of time. It'll be terrific.
Yes. And, of course, it'll be summer here. So hopefully you'll get some good weather in New Zealand anyway. Australia might be pretty hot. But anyway, yeah, it'll be good. I'm hoping to make it up to that conference in Auckland myself. So actually, there are a ton of things we can talk about today. So many things that are going on. I mentioned to you just quickly off air, one of the things that I'm really concerned about for a start is the WHO pushing for a pandemic treaty, wanting to have that all done and dusted in May, which could, you know, basically take sovereignty from individual nations. They keep talking up this disease X, which they say another pandemic is going to come. You know how they know that? I don't know. Well, I do know if they plan it themselves like they did with the last one. But that is just one of the angles what they are, you know, leading to ultimate control over everyone and everything on this planet, I believe.
Absolutely. We know what they did last time around. Over four years ago, they talked about it was Event 201, October of 2019. You know, you get these leaders who happen to be the same ones that ran all of the coronavirus rules and regulations and mandates and all of the other things they did for lockdowns and the things that you guys dealt with in New Zealand and Australia, here in America. Canada got hit really bad, still dealing with these things. And so Event 201, they said, well, what if this happens? Well, this is what we need to do. And it just so happens that next thing you know, there's a coronavirus and all these things were fulfilled exactly as they said they needed to be fulfilled. And Klaus Schwab wrote about them in his book, The Great Reset. So, you know, you look at this, you go, well, you can't make this stuff up. It just happened to happen. And now we hear about this disease X and it's going to come and the timing of it. I mean, and the World Health Organization, everything has been set in place. Tony, I find this really interesting. While this war has been going on over in Israel, that's taken much of the attention of the news, regardless of what side of Israel you stand on in this, it's taken much of the news and what's happened or much of our attention away from everything else. It's like it's been used for cover as World Health Organization, the UN, the World Economic Forum. Interesting, they all have these global names. They've still been moving and planning forward. It's like they said, well, look over here while we do this over there. Because a lot of resistance has built over the last couple of years. And people have been waking up. And these leaders know that people have been waking up. In fact, I saw an interview with one of the leaders of the World Economic Forum. The interview is probably about 6 months old. And we know Davos has been going on and all that right now. But so we see this with this leader, World Economic Forum, and she says something to the effect of, I've got good news and bad news. I just put it in those terms. The good news is that we are getting along great with each other. In other words, all the global leaders are, The bad news is that nobody trusts any of us. That's the reality of it. There's a handful of people who do. It's a small percentage, but most people are waking up and they're realizing that the people like us that were called crazy in the beginning were sounding the alarm. They're realizing, wait a minute, you guys were right warning us about these things. So now we have disease X and all of these other intentions, intentional things. What we are looking at is, I would say, an unprecedented upsurge in global crises. It's like one just keeps happening and we know another one is coming and then another one. And the Bible talks about wars and rumors of wars and pestilences and earthquakes. And we're watching these things and they're very interesting. Even if they're man-made, the Bible still says, hey, these things will increase. So it's one of these just things that we need to say, okay, we better pay attention because what they are doing, they are building a global system is what they're doing. And I believe disease actually learned how to lock down. There's something else I believe, Tony, that what happened with the pandemic is these globalists, the Bill Gates and the rest of them, they learned not only who was compliant, they learned who was not compliant. And I guarantee you they have made notes of all that. And they also are finding out where their weak spots were. And it's like the last 4 years have been a test. Let's find out where weak spots are. Let's find out where we need to shore up and strengthen things. When they come back next time, I think they're going to come back even harder.
Well, basically, you mentioned Event 201. Well, they did run another simulation a while ago, and they called it Catastrophic Contagion. And it was basically the same players. And I think, don't quote me on it, I think the fictitious timeline for that one was something like February 2025. So they need to have the pandemic treaty and CBDCs and all these other things kind of sewn up, I think, first. And then, you know, then they can go, oh, there's this terrible disease X or whatever. And now we have to do even harder than we did under the last pandemic.
We know exactly what we got to do. You know, I forgot all about contagion, that whole plan thing. I totally forgot about it. In fact, I did several different messages just on that. But you look at this, so 2025, project out there, what do you got to do? Hence the World Health Organization, that meeting's coming up here in the States. You know, the terrible government that we have here has already agreed to surrendering our sovereignty over to the World Health Organization. So this is already, it's already in play. So, and you're absolutely right. They're going to make sure everything's in order. Once they have everything in order, baby, they're going to come down and they're going to lock us down harder than they did last time. And of course, it's going to be for the same reasons. It's for your peace. This is for your safety. We really care about you. And I firmly believe they're going to come out with a whole bunch of fake numbers, fake videos. We know what AI can do now to create fake videos. And boy, they're going to be able to scare everybody. And it's another warning from the Bible. Be careful that no one deceives you. So the deception is only going to get greater in the coming months and years.
And they've got digital ID, you know, being pushed in things like biometric identification. I noticed when I flew out of LAX, which quite frankly, I hate LAX, just 2 weeks ago. And they had facial recognition cameras, you know, everywhere they want people boarding with biometric identification. Now, I managed to say, look, I don't want to do that. Can you board me manually? But they don't tell you you can do that. But that's just another phase of all of this. And if they can get all of these things kind of coordinated, you know, the digital IDs, the biometric identification, if they get the CBDCs and pandemic treaties and all of those things, that I see is where the real danger is, because then they can tie it all in together. And we saw what they did with the VAX passports last time, and, you know, that they, I believe, will do this big time on steroids next time around.
Oh, absolutely. I believe when I looked at it from my perspective, certain areas were kind of like a test area to see what they could get away with. Canada, one of them. I believe Australia and New Zealand were. Different parts in the United States were, California being one of them. They were like test areas to see what they could do. So with that, when we look at facial recognition, for example, I have a friend who says he doesn't want to upgrade to a smartphone. He uses an old phone. Doesn't want to upgrade to a smartphone because he says, no, they're just going to track us and I'm not going to put up with any of that. And he lives in Mexico. And anyways, not going to put up with that. So he has to pass through the airport, LAX. And as soon as he walked up, there's the guy standing there through passport control. And he mentions his name. He says, "Welcome to America, so-and-so." And he goes, "Man, they knew everything about me, and I've been trying to avoid it." And something else that you said that is such a key factor in this, what they discovered in the last 4 years was they didn't have a central database because people could print up fake passport cards, the vaccine passports. They could do this here in California. People would get their fake vaccine thing so they could go to Los Angeles if they had to or something like that. So because there was no real way to monitor those, well, they're gonna make sure they take care of that problem. They can't be having anybody fake these things. So there's just these different holes that they found out. And I firmly believe whatever the vaccine was about, all the nefarious intentions, I believe their number one goal was to collect information. The good guys, the bad guys, the problems, the things that we know go well, the things that didn't work. That's what it was about more than anything else. So they can come back, and it looks like 2025, they can come back and make sure that they really lock us down, which I also believe applies to the Bible, where we have in the book of Revelation, you have the first horseman of the apocalypse, the rider on the white horse, who goes about conquering and to conquer. He doesn't use conventional weapons to conquer the people, but subdues them. How? Well, quite possibly with regulations, with rules, with laws that are enacted. You're locked down, you're conquering. You're conquered by this thing that is coming, and it's the beginning of this global system.
Yes, and they have a lot of things to get into place beforehand, but the biggest issue is I can see all of those things rapidly advancing together. So when they converge, that's when they'll be able to do that, because that, I believe, is the goal. And, of course, the financial system has to go down. The current financial system has to collapse, basically, as well, so that they can bring in a new system with CBDCs and get rid of cash and all of that. We saw even in the, COVID, how they used the dirtiness of cash as a reason why a lot of places said, right, we're not accepting cash anymore. So again, it was all very clever, but I think, the end goal is to be able to control an entire financial system and all transactions.
Oh, absolutely. So just thinking of money, we can probably talk for a couple of minutes about this. One thing regarding the dirtiness of cash, but the reality of it is, how many people have really died because of what's been transferred by cash? Sure, no doubt. None. Yeah, but suddenly there's this fear that's out there. And I'll guarantee you the statistics are going to come. Cash will kill you. Okay, I'm going to say something that might be offensive to some of your listeners, might be offensive to just about anybody. And I've never shared this before publicly, but it has to do with cash, all right? So if you got to cut this, go ahead and cut it. But before I came to Christ, I had a drug problem. And the drug of my choice was cocaine. And it was a big issue. I mean, I was addicted to it. I smoked it and everything else. Well, one of the things that we did, if we didn't have a straw, we would roll up cash and into the form of a straw, and we would snort it into our nose. I don't ever remember getting a deadly disease, and that was a really bad way of handling cash. I look at it and go, okay, but when I look at, praise God, he's delivered me from that. But that was, a long time ago. But still, we look at it and go, okay, they're going to say the cash is dirty, and people, the lies are going to be everywhere. They're going to have statistics to prove how bad it is. They'll have pictures of dollar bills with all kinds of horrible things on them. And that's one aspect of it. Then they're going to say we're going to be able to control, like here in America, we'll be able to control the drug cartel from Mexico. will be able to control the sex trafficking, even though most of them are the sex trafficking problem, you know, and the drug cartel problem. They're in charge of it. So it's not about, it's not really about our peace and our safety. It's about them being in charge. And it's about them controlling us and doing it by manipulation. But people are on to the digital currencies. The digital currency that they are talking about is not Bitcoin or something like that. Bitcoin, for example, and those right now, they are decentralized digital currencies. What they are talking about is a CBDC, centralized bank digital currencies. And when it's centralized, that means somebody is in charge of it. Somebody controls it, which means that somebody controls you. And that's what they want. Of course, it's going to be for our peace. It's going to be for our safety. And I do believe the only way to bring it about is they're going to have to crash the system because there is so much resistance to it right now. I even read, it was probably about, it was sometime in 2023, about it was an area of Australia that would be, in fact, it was a financial guru, not a Christian, not somebody who believes in the Bible or anything like that. It's this financial guy, can't think of what his name is right now, brilliant. And he was just bringing it from the perspective of what he knows with the finance world. And he said, listen, it's in Australia where they're going to begin to crash the system, and it is going to happen. And he even explained why it was going to be Australia. And I'm not trying to freak everybody out, but I'm watching this, and I do believe it's going to have to be big enough. He even mentioned it's going to have to be big enough to be able to get people afraid. Of course, they're going to blame it on the Russians or blame it on they're going to blame it on anybody they can and say they've crashed the system. The only way, your money's all gone. This is what we're going to need to do. Everybody's going to have a digital bank account, but the only way you're going to have money in your digital bank account is if you play by the rules, their rules, the social credit rules, the climate rules, the I've got to get a shot rules. Then you can have it. And I asked one of my friends who's really into AI and digital currency, how are they going to get everybody on board on this, being there's so much resistance? He said, when they crash the system and there's no groceries in the stores for 3 days, he said, people will start to say whatever it takes, and these globalists will get their victory. Not everybody's going to be on board, but I believe it is going to come about this way. They've got to crash it, and the system can't keep going like it is. Trillions and trillions of dollars. You know, the debt is just... It's impossible to make up. We have inflation. Property is expensive in New Zealand. Property is expensive in Australia. Property is expensive all over the world right now, all over the world. And inflation, everything is costing more and more. But Klaus Schwab said by 2030, you'll own nothing and be happy. He said that in 2015, by the way, almost 10 years ago. So it's not something new. This has been in play for a long time. But the financial system, the time is coming when it will be crashed.
Yeah, and it's really interesting combining all that. You mentioned the climate agenda, and of course they're using that as an excuse to need to do all sorts of things, like getting people away from what they call fossil fuels.
Yeah.
Petrol, oil, and natural gas, and all of these things need to be replaced, you know, with solar panels and wind energy, which is nowhere near as efficient. And then they supposedly want people in electric cars, but really they don't want people in electric cars at all. They want to transition people into no cars at all, and that's just stage one. But it's like you'll end up with a food crisis for sure, because everything is dependent on energy like fossil fuels to create it. You can't just know, get rid of that and then expect that food production will carry on as normal and as it's been, and that the population will be fed. So it'll be like another arm of the crisis is the whole climate agenda and the need to get everyone away from eating meat and get rid of cows and whatever else. And so you have Bill Gates and people like him buying up tons of farmland and pushing for insect farming and all of that stuff.
Oh, you know, these climate laws are, you know, they're climate lies is what they are. In 1991, the Club of Rome had a book out, and anybody can fact check this, you can find the information. And I wish I could remember the exact quote that is in the book. But basically, they say, again, 1991, we need to get control of the masses, and we believe we've figured out a way to do it. And it's through pollution and creating man and his pollution as the bad guy. And therefore, when the pollution becomes the bad guy and man's involvement with pollution, we can therefore control the masses. It's a great quote that they have that's right in their book of what they say. Therefore, we are going to do this. So that's what they're doing. Eating bugs is ridiculous. And yeah. I know you guys have great steak there in New Zealand. And, yeah. And I can't wait to be there. I hope I can still get it. I'll be there soon.
Yeah, you will. There's still plenty of it.
You know what? Here in the States, I mean, there's still plenty of it here too, but boy, are they shutting down the farms with Bill Gates and the Chinese and everything else. They are really going after them. And they're doing it, a lot of it through social media and just sort of general media, making you feel guilty, seeing how bad it is. Eat bugs. This is absurd. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, in the latter times, there will be doctrines of demons, and one of the doctrines they'll be teaching is that you won't be able to eat meat. I find that fascinating. It wasn't until we started hearing about all these climate laws and you're not going to be able to eat meat that I couldn't make sense of that verse. Why would they say you can't eat meat? Well, now we look. The Bible said it was going to happen, and it's one of those the climate laws and the not being able to eat meat are two of the main reasons that we can tell just how close we are to what many people view as the coming apocalypse, I guess you could call it, the time that's described in the book of Revelation. But the Bible actually told us it was going to be this way. You won't be able to eat meat. Yeah. They're going to command you not to eat meat. We hear it. Eat bugs. How absurd.
Yes, it is absurd. And, you know, there are so many small farms and things all over the world that have been closed down. I mean, obviously, probably the biggest example of that is the Netherlands, you know, where they've really gone hell for leather to get rid of farming.
Terrible,
you know, it's been done, you know. But it's in some way or another, it's happening, you know, widespread. And so, I mean, food production is everything when it comes to people, and if you keep people hungry, they're much easier to control.
Yep, absolutely. Oh, by the way, the name of the place that we're going to be meeting for our conference is at Victory Convention Center on Beaumont Street, I guess Freeman's Bay in Auckland.
Yeah. Right. So, yeah. So that's pretty much downtown Auckland.
I'm looking very forward to being there with everybody from New Zealand, whoever can join us.
And that's what, the 5th of February, I think?
Yes, it is. Yep, February 5.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I mean, we're looking at these things, the climate lies and right on down the list. Another thing that's described also in the Bible when it comes to the days leading up to the return of Christ is a great apostasy that takes place. Doctrines of demons. We have 1 Timothy chapter 4, 2 Timothy 4. People won't put up with the truth. There will be deception will be massive. The churches will be corrupt. Different descriptions are given. Corrupt churches, lukewarm churches, dead churches, compromising churches, teachers in pulpits that just make the people feel good. And you start looking around. I don't know what it's like over there in New Zealand for churches or even Australia. I know what it's like in America, and it's like, it's the strangest thing. Churches have gotten away from teaching the Bible, and you have just this feel good, whatever it takes, make me feel good and I'll come to your church. And that seems to be the thing that has taken place here. In fact, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, the Bible says in the last days, perilous times will come. And then many different characteristics are listed. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, unthankful, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, despisers of anything that is good, traitors. We see that. And then it says, and the people will have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. In other words, they're gonna have this form of spiritualism. Well, I'm good. If there's a God in heaven, I'm good. But they're actually going to deny the truth. And you even see this. I mean, there's so many different dynamics that are all taking place at the same time, Tony, that it can't possibly be a coincidence that the Bible said, hey, these are the things that are going to be taking place. So look up, lift up your head, man, with joy, because the Lord is coming. And all these things are a sign. In and of themselves, they're kind of depressing. But when you realize what they point to the great hope that we have in Jesus.
Yes, that's true. And we mustn't forget that, because it is easy to get discouraged by everything that you see happening. And of course, you know, you get people still trying to put their faith in some political leader or other that's going to come along and fix everything. But if we truly are in the end times, and I believe we are, that's not going to happen. And I don't even think any of the political leaders can be trusted anyway. They've only been put into place because they're part of the club. And some of them are very good at the Hegelian dialectic role and pretending to be something that they're not. They're actors playing for the left or playing for the right, but still paid by the same company, if you know what I'm saying.
I know exactly what you mean. The Hegelian dialectic. It's funny you mentioned that, Tony. It was, 40 years ago when I was young, I was in my young 20s, I used to mow lawn, you know, a lawnmower, and I'd cut people's grass, I was making money doing that. And I figured out a way I could land more accounts. I had an advertisement in the paper with my company's name, and then I would go and give a bid, and I might get it, I might not. You know, make an offer, I'll do your job for X amount of dollars a month. Well, then I realized if I create a fake company, they'll also get phone calls. And then I can send one of my friends to go and give the same customer a bid. So I did that. I had two companies that looked like they were opposing each other. And all the time it was me. And I look and go, okay, if I was a 20-year-old mowing grass for a living and I could figure that out and make it work, I guarantee you these politicians, these globalists, they know exactly what they are doing. They're playing both sides through this global system. And they make it look like they hate each other and you're against me. They're both on the same team. They go to the same parties. They share the same banks. And they all got the same agenda. Let's be in charge.
Yes, and that is kind of depressing in some ways, because, you know, it doesn't really matter who you think you're voting for. You're still really voting for just a slightly different route to get to a route to get to whatever point they want you to go. It will take you this way left on this scenic route, or will take you right on that scenic route, but we're still going to the same destination.
That's a great way of putting it. There's two different routes. And on whichever route you're on, you're happy. Okay, this is my guy. I'm happy here. My guy's in charge, whoever it may be. You know what else is interesting in this is when we look at these things that are happening, Tony, we see we're watching, in a sense, a collapse of the governments as we've known them. But being birthed out of these things is the proposed solution, a global government. Because people are mad, right? They're mad at both sides of the politics.
Yeah.
But it looks like, to me, like that's also part of the plan to destroy it and make it really bad. Here in America, we have virtually no border between the United States and Mexico. And I mean, there are so many people coming across the border every day. And it's not just people that live in Mexico. It's terrorists are coming across, Chinese nationals, people from Africa, people there. And you look, there's a lot of people with some very bad intentions. And so it looks like the whole thing to me It's a planned destruction of governments as we've known them or perceive them to be, with the intention to build this global system, which goes right along the lines of what you were saying with the World Health Organization, the meeting coming up in May, Davos in Switzerland, and all of the other meetings in between, the COP28 meeting regarding climate. All of these things are going in the exact same direction, and it's this global system.
And it doesn't really matter what the rank and file population want. This is the other thing. It's people like these unelected, you know, globalists, like guitarists or guitarists or however you pronounce them, you know, and then Tedros and then, you know, Bill Gates and Klaus Schwab, and you could go a whole long list of names. Well, who's elected those people? Certainly not you and I. And yet they believe that they have, you know, an unstoppable agenda, basically. And it doesn't really matter what the truth is. We will be shut down, because then they will say it's disinformation and misinformation. I mean, anything that doesn't fit their narrative is going to be misinformation and disinformation, and therefore it needs to be shut down. So the small group of what they think themselves as elites have the control and the power, and the rank and file people like you and I really don't have any say in what happens with this. And like we were just saying before, they send some puppet politician to these meetings, and they will, you know, rubber stamp the whatever legislation that the world government types want.
Oh, absolutely. You know, when it's an interesting thing when you look at it and who these people are, unelected, but they seem to be running everything because they are. When you think of the Bible and Antichrist, people are always looking for a politician. Well, the Bible doesn't say he's going to be a politician. Could be. He's going to be somebody as powerful and has the solutions to whatever the problems are that I believe they've created themselves intentionally to bring their person into power. But there's some very interesting things. In the New Testament, the Bible says in the last days, evil men will get worse and worse. And in Micah chapter 2, Old Testament, this is so fascinating, Tony. There's this passage that says, woe to those who devise iniquity and work out evil on their beds. At morning light, they practice it because it's in the power of their hand to covet fields and to take them by violence and houses and seize them. So they oppress a man and his house and his inheritance. I find it interesting. It gives the picture, evil men lying on their bed at night thinking, what can I do to get more power? I know what I will do. And it says right there that they come up with their evil plan. When they wake up in the morning, they do it because it's in their power to do it, because they can. And that's exactly how I see these guys. It says they covet fields, they take them from people, they take houses, they take property, they take farmland. This is exactly what they are doing. And they can. They're powerful. And you want to come against them? I mean, look what happened over the last 4 years. Look, you mentioned misinformation and disinformation. We are all labeled that way. It's a constant censorship. It's a constant, you can't be trusted, we're going to have to remove you. So the lies are only going to get worse and worse, and the deception is going to get worse and worse. These people are bloodthirsty. They don't care about anybody. They only care about themselves.
Yes, that's true, and it's not a pretty picture. But, you know, what do we do, or what can we do? I mean, we're Christians, and probably the majority of people listening to this show are Christians, and if you're not, you want to be, you should be. But, you know, what do we do? You know, at this point in
right.
time.
Well, I really believe that we need to warn people about it. These things are biblical in the sense of the Bible warned us that this is what the world was going to look like. So if you are a Christian, it's like understanding what your Bible really does say about these things, because Jesus himself even said, I have told you these things beforehand. Why did he tell us beforehand? So that we would know. So we wouldn't lose heart or be troubled when these things happen. Listen, I get really bothered by these things because I can see the evil intentions. We've seen what's happened over the last few years, and we understand the manipulation and the lies and so forth. But wait a minute, we understand that we have a God who is in heaven. We understand how all of this is going to unfold. There is a tribulation period coming, but guess what? Jesus is coming back, and he's going to rule and reign. And Jesus is the just one. He's going to deal with all of these issues. He's going to straighten out the messes. He's going to straighten out the people. He's going to judge them. He's coming back as a judge. But in this, we also have our hope. I liken, when I look at this type of conversation, Tony, I look at it like this. When John the Baptist came, he preached a judgment that was coming, and he warned of a judgment that was coming, but he also gave the message of mercy and hope that we have. This is what rightly understanding Bible prophecy does. Hey, we warn of a judgment that's coming, but we're also able to say, wait a minute, the judgment's coming. It's very real. Here are the signs so that you can be aware. But guess what? The hope that we have is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's come to forgive us of our sins. And nothing is taking God by surprise. In fact, he even told us these things so that we can actually be encouraged. In fact, it was Jesus himself said, when you see all of these things begin to happen at the same time, look up and lift up your head because your redemption draws near. So what do we need to be doing? We really need to be telling people about the hope of forgiveness that we have in Christ. This world, listen, we can see what the leaders are like. We've experienced, they don't really care about us. This world is not our home. The Bible even tells us our citizenship is in heaven. When I look at it like that, I realize, wait a minute, this world is as close as I'm ever going to get to hell or judgment, because my home is in heaven. But for these globalists, this is the closest they're ever going to get to heaven. So hence, they are building their utopian kingdom, and what they want is a bunch of servants here on this earth to serve them, and they want to control the masses. But that's what they're attempting to do. They're attempting to build their heaven on this earth. They don't believe in God. They don't believe in heaven. They believe they are gods. So that's what they are trying to do. But this is as close as they're ever going to get to heaven because Jesus is judge. He will judge them. So we trust in the Lord and we move forward, but we recognize these events that we watch are actually signs that we see pointing to Christ's second coming.
That's very true and very well spoken. So, okay, to close up, Tom, this has been a fascinating discussion. Can you tell those who are listening whereabouts they can find you?
Yes, website is hopeforourtimes.com. Just go there, and I have all kinds of things there, books, DVDs, and videos, news articles. And yes, I even talk a lot about New Zealand and Australia because you guys are in the news all the time. And we're looking forward to February 5 at the Victory Convention Center in Auckland. It's going to be great. Hope to meet you there, Tony. It'd be wonderful.
Yeah, I'm definitely hoping to get there. So, yes, it would be good to catch up. And also with the other speakers, can you just perhaps mention who some of the others are that are going to be speaking?
Dr. Billy Crone, Brandon Holdhouse will be speaking, Mondo Gonzalez, Pete Garcia, myself. And I know I'm missing somebody. And Ken Michael will also be there. There are six of us, and it's going to be terrific. Four of us are giving full messages, and then we're going to have also a Q&A time that's going to include all six of us, where we're going to take live questions from people.
Sounds good. All right. Well, thanks so much again for being on the A Minute to Midnight show today, Tom, and we'll have to do it again.
Thanks, Tony. God bless you.
God bless you too. And also, folks, don't forget that our website is aminutetomidnight.com. Please go down the right-hand side of the page and you'll see it says subscribe to blog. Enter your email address there if you want to get notified of any shows and also articles we post on our website. And you don't find the articles anywhere else but on our website. And we do have a YouTube channel, a Rumble channel, a BitChute channel, and an Apple Podcast channel. And A Minute to Midnight is run 100% by donations. And as I always like to do, thank you very much to the people that do donate to A Minute to Midnight. And if anyone else wants to do so, you can donate at the website, aminutetomidnight.com. And the music used in the show, I've written, played and recorded. God bless, and God willing, we'll be back in a few days' time.